Step into any department store this holiday weekend and you will have a chance to buy products made all around the world. For better or worse, you also have a chance to add to the enormous trade deficit the United States is running with the rest of the world. The trade imbalance is growing at a time when the United States has lost millions of manufacturing jobs. And we're going to get three perspectives on what's happening. We'll start with a look at China, which is facing intense criticism right now. This month, the U.S. Commerce Department imposed new restrictions on Chinese-made products, imposing tariffs on Chinese-made televisions and quotas on Chinese-made textiles. Nicholas Lardy, who's a senior fellow at the Institute for International Economics, says the U.S. may run a trade deficit of $125 billion with China this year. That's more than any other nation.
It happened primarily because China has opened up to foreign direct investment and more Asian companies have relocated their assembly operations to China. And they're now making not just toys and footwear, as they have for quite a few years, but increasingly consumer electronics and even personal computers and laptops. The United States now imports more personal computers and laptops from China than from any other source.
Give me an idea of some brand names. If I walked into an appliance store or a computer store, what might I see on the shelves that was made in China?
Well, you'd have to look carefully because most of the products that you would see are sold under familiar names. Dell laptops, for example, are now overwhelmingly made in China. We're buying products with global names. They might be Sony. It might be NEC. There is one manufacturer in China that is the world's biggest manufacturer of microwave ovens. The name of the company is Galanz, G-A-L-A-N-Z, and no one outside of China has ever heard of it because they are manufacturing goods to order for other companies that will actually do the distribution into the retail markets into the United States.
So I might have a Chinese microwave in my house and not even know it.
That's right. Unless you look on the plate that gives the serial number and the model number and things like that, you wouldn't know it.
Is there a connection between the very large trade deficit that the United States is running with China and the fact that over the last few years, well over 2 million manufacturing jobs have been lost in the United States?
There's a connection, but it's an extremely weak one. Most of the manufacturing jobs that have been lost in the United States are not because our imports are going up or that our imports from China in specific terms are going up, but rather U.S. exports have declined dramatically. And in part, that was a function of a strong dollar, which was a very important factor until quite recently. The dollar has come down against the euro, at least, and some other currencies. But more importantly, it's been a function of the very low growth in Europe and in Japan. So until those countries grow more rapidly and begin to demand more goods, including imported goods, we're going to have a problem in terms of getting back to the level of manufacturing jobs that we had 2 or 2.5 years ago.
Economist Nicholas Lardy says the growing trade deficit makes it easier for lawmakers to campaign in favor of trade restrictions. Those lawmakers include North Carolina Republican Congressman Cass Ballinger. His state's furniture and textile industries have been devastated in recent years.
Over the last few years, you cannot find a product made in the United States in any clothing store. We don't do it anymore.
Congressman Ballinger blames China, among other countries, for bending trade rules that were designed to protect American jobs. He tells a story that's widely believed in the textile industry.
Well, basically, let's be honest, when NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, took place, in that agreement was a thing called Fiber Forward. That said that anything that was produced in Mexico had to be using our fiber and our cloth. And it worked like a top for about 4 years, and then the Chinese figured a way around it. And they were not alone in doing this. But if a big container comes in from the east, the Far East, and it comes into Los Angeles, and you put it on a truck and drive it to Mexico and change the labels and bring it back through, they took that ability to do that and just about destroyed the effectiveness of NAFTA as far as textile were concerned. And it's also now applying to a very large number of people in machine tools and a whole bunch of stuff like that.
Well, the Commerce Department has now imposed these restrictions on Chinese textiles, among other products. Is that enough?
That's the beginning. And if the Chinese will recognize that there is this feeling in this country, the basic idea is they have never opened their market to be able to buy products that we produce.
Congressman, can you describe to me the political importance of this issue in the next presidential election as you see it?
Oh, I have told the White House over and over again, if you stop and think, what was the state with the second largest plurality that George Bush got in the last election? It was North Carolina. And I've told them over and over again, you try to win the president's re-election without North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and Georgia, you're going to have a hard time.
Oh, you know what? I just want to clarify one thing. If somebody called you a protectionist, would that be a fair label?
I have always voted free trade. But when we start giving our jobs away in such volume that we're doing it, then I guess I am becoming a protectionist.
But North Carolina Republican Cass Ballinger says some free trade agreements could support American jobs. He favors a free trade deal with Central American nations that might open up new markets for U.S. manufacturers. Many American clothing companies are pressing for even more trade agreements. That's what we learned when we called the Trade Association for Companies whose products are lining store shelves this weekend, companies like Levi Strauss, Jones Apparel, and Jockey. Steve Lamar of the American Apparel and Footwear Association offered to show us how global trade is changing for the clothing companies that he represents, and he directed us to statistics on a U.S. government website.
And it's got apparel imports.
Okay.
See that down there?
Click on that. Okay.
Click on that. And you've got a list of countries. China has gone up about 51%, comparing the first 9 months of this year to the first 9 months of last year. Vietnam, the percentage increase is 234%. And then another country that's one of my favorites is, you'll see Jordan a little bit further down, has gone up 61%.
Now, Steve Lamar, when people walk into a clothing store this weekend, can you just describe what will be different than if they were shopping last Christmas season or five Christmas seasons ago?
Well, probably the difference is, I'd say, over five holiday seasons. One thing that's noticeable is you see a lot more product coming from Africa or coming from, say, Peru and Colombia, and it's because of new trade preference programs that have been created.
What sorts of products? Coats, hats, shirts, pants?
Yeah, pants, shirts, some coats, a lot of cotton products, for example. We've seen a lot more coming from Vietnam and Cambodia than we'd seen previously, because these are countries that just saw their tariffs reduced because they signed trade agreements with the United States.
Really interesting to realize that although some of these imports may be costing American jobs, your association is not calling for more protective tariffs.
Well, and the thing you have to realize, though, is what we're talking about is not imports that are coming from, say, Mexico at the expense of the United States. The imports are coming at Mexico at the expense of, say, Honduras, or they're coming from China at the expense of Thailand. We produce our products in multiple countries. You know, one product may go through three or four different countries as it's going from the yarn phase through fabric through cutting, sewing, and then export. And it may be a U.S. branded product, and the country of ultimate export may not be the U.S., but it's U.S. companies that are benefiting from that, and U.S. workers, I might add.
Apparel company representative Steve Lamar argues that Americans may gain jobs as well as lose them from expanded trade. Though the Bush administration is promoting more free trade agreements, the president has also taken several steps against what he considered unfair trade. Last week, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan warned against what he called creeping protectionism, a warning that he issued as the presidential campaign season is creeping closer to.